नारदो देवदर्शनः राजोवाच ब्रह्मणा चोदितो ब्रह्मन् गुणाख्याने गुणस्य च यस्मै यस्मै यथा प्राह नारदो देवदर्शनः राजोवाच ब्रह्मणा चोदितो ब्रह्मन् गुणाख्याने गुणस्य च यस्मै यस्मै यथा प्राह नारदो देवदर्शन राजोवाच ब्रह्मणा चोदितो ब्रह्मन् गुणाख्याने गुणस्य च यस्मै यस्मै यथा प्राह नारदो देवदर्शनः राजोवाच ब्रह्मणा चोदितो ब्रह्मन् गुणाख्याने गुणस्य च यस्मै यस्मै यथा प्राह नारदो देवदर्शनः मदर्स माताजी एनीबडी राजोवाच ब्रह्मणा चोदितो ब्रह्मन् गुणाख्याने गुणस्य च यस्मै यस्मै यथा प्राह नारदो देवदर्शनः राजा द किंग उवाच इन्क्वायर्ड ब्रह्मणा बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा चोदितः बीइंग इंस्ट्रक्टेड ब्रह्मन् ओ लर्नेड ब्राह्मण शुकदेव गोस्वामी गुणाख्याने ही नरेटिंग द ट्रांसेंडेंटल क्वालिटीज अगुणस्य ऑफ द लॉर्ड हु इज विदाउट मटेरियल क्वालिटीज च एंड यस्मै यस्मै एंड हुम यथा एज मच एज प्राह एक्सप्लेन्ड नारदः नारद मुनि देवदर्शनः वन हुज ऑडियंस इज एज गुड एज दैट ऑफ एनी डेमिगॉड Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, how did Narad Muni, whose hearers are as fortunate as those instructed by Lord Brahma, explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is without material qualities, and before whom did He speak? Purport. Devarshi Narad was directly instructed by Brahmaji, who was also directly instructed by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the instructions imparted by Narada to his various disciples are as good as those of the Supreme Lord. That is the way of understanding Vedic knowledge. It comes down from the Lord by disciplic succession. And this transcendental knowledge is distributed to the world by this descending process. There is no chance, however, to receive the Vedic knowledge from mental speculators. Therefore, wherever Narad Muni goes, he represents himself as authorized by the Lord, and his appearance is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the disciplic succession, which strictly follows the transcendental instruction of... Similarly, the disciplic succession, which strictly follows the transcendental instruction, is the bona fide chain of disciplic succession, and the test of such bona fide spiritual masters is that there should be no difference between the instruction of the Lord originally imparted to his devotee and that which is imparted by the authority in line of disciplic succession. How Narad Muni distributed the transcendental knowledge of the Lord will be explained in the later cantos. It will appear also that Lord existed prior to the material creation, and therefore his transcendental name, quality, etc. do not represent any material quality. Whenever therefore the Lord is described as aguna or without any quality, it does not mean that he has no quality, but that he has no material quality such as the modes of goodness, passion or ignorance, as the conditioned souls have. He is transcendental to all the material conceptions, and thus he is described as aguna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshaurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkrupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrunda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let me offer my humble obeisances at the worshipable divine feet of everybody who is assembled, and my senior godbrothers, my well-wishers, and everyone else who may be attending it online. So today we are celebrating, we are starting the 8th chapter of 2nd Canto, and it is happening on the auspicious occasion of the Akshaya Tritiya. Today is the festival of Akshaya Tritiya. Most of you who come from the Indian backgrounds know this very well. So indeed it's very auspicious that we are beginning something new. Anything which is started on Akshaya Tritiya is meant to have long lasting results, that it will continue for long. But, and I'm going to connect this concept to the verse little later, but just to understand this point, that in this material world, the characteristic property of this material world is that everything has a kshaya. That means everything decays. We know that everything in this material world goes through the six changes. And you can see it. It happens with everybody. There is first one who takes birth. There is a creation, initial birth. Then there is growth. So it grows. Then it stays for some time in that grown state. Then it produces byproducts. Then it dwindles. And then it dies. So this is a six stages. So you can see that initially there is growth. But after that, there is again dwindling, there is producing byproducts. Even when you produce byproducts, actually, there is some sort of akshaya which is happening to you because things are coming out of you. So you now you need to spend for them, you need to work for them. Most of the people who are well-off people, you go to them and you ask them that, why don't you have children? They say, no, we cannot manage them. So I just wonder, I mean, my father would hardly get salary which may be like 1/4 of my salary, or maybe 1/5 of my salary. And he was very happily able to support me, and, you know, he wanted to have another kid. Didn't happen, but he was very happy. And I see my colleagues who are almost like earning 4 times, 5 times that what he was earning. And I say, why don't you have a second child? I said, no. How can I maintain that child? So the fact is that even in that production of byproducts, there is share. And definitely there is dwindling, and then there is death. Right? So everything in this material world has a kshaya. It goes on dwindling. So how can we celebrate Akshaya Tithiya in this world when everything is actually dwindling? It doesn't make any sense. So you may say that, okay, if I just have 50 rupees with me or 100 rupees with me, then if I just don't spend, then that 100 rupee grows. You know, I put it in the bank maybe, and that I'll get some interest on that. But we see that there is something called as inflation, right? Because the value of that 50 rupees after, say, 1 year is 50 into 1.06, because around 6% inflation, whereas the bank only gives you 4%. So that 2% share has happened in that 100 rupees also. Now somebody may say, oh, you know, I will put my money in stock market, which will give me 12% return, 13% return. I'll beat the inflation. But even that 12% return, why the stock market is giving you? Because you are willing to take the risk that one day it will all become share and it will become zero. Because you are taking that risk, that's why it's giving you 12%. So that 12% is also based on the complete understanding that one day there will be a complete share of this. Right? So everything in this material world, there is a share. Right? It is ultimately. So how then can we celebrate Akshaya Tritiya in this world? That is the first question. That means we need to understand the concept of Akshay very nicely. Right? So let us try to, I had to try to gather some scriptural evidences just to understand in full, in comprehensive way, how do we understand Akshay, the concept of Akshay. So of course, one thing that we have established that becoming Akshay is impossible. Right? It is not possible in this material. It's not possible. Now, whenever you speak this in front of a materialistic person, that something is impossible. And typically those who are motivational speakers, influencers, they always come back and say that, you know, even impossible says, I am possible. You must have heard this, right? Now, it's very nice to hear, you know, even impossible says, I am possible. But just like we were here discussing in the previous section, you may say so many things that I am possible or whatever. But tell me the process of how it is possible. You cannot just say that even impossible says I am possible. Okay, nice to hear. Good for me. But how? But tell me how. So there is a very nice, and you must have noticed this, it's there in Bhagavad Gita. There's a beautiful question answer between Krishna and Arjuna, where this concept of impossibility is expressed. Right? So you know all that work, this wonderful verse, I think it comes in the first or in the sixth chapter, after Lord Krishna explains the entire process of Dhyana Yoga. Arjun says, Chanchalam hi manak Krishna, Pramathi balavat drudham, Tasyaham nigraham manye, Vayor iva sa dushkaram. So dushkaram is impossible. So Arjuna is saying that for me controlling the mind is as impossible as controlling the wind. Okay. Now, understanding the position of Arjun, we all have this, many times it has been spoken. When Arjuna was in the heavenly planets, Urvashi, who was the most beautiful damsel, she actually went to him, approached him and openly proposed to him. And it was not like, you know, just go on a date. You know, sometimes people nowadays, you know, they say, okay, can we go on a date? She was not asking for dating. She openly proposed for a complete union. It was not just, okay, let's go out on a date. And she is the most beautiful person. And Arjun was able to, you know, very respectfully avoid that circumstance. He was able to say, you are just like my mother. The worst thing happened after that. So because he treated her as mother, she became very angry. So Arjun is able to control his lust, but she is not able to control the lust. So the lust has now become into anger. And she cursed Arjuna, saying that, because now you are disrespecting me like this, I curse you that you will become a eunuch. Right? And Arjun used that curse very intelligently during the Agyatvas of the Pandavas, where he actually became Bruhannada. And in my humble opinion, this becoming of Bruhannada is much, much more difficult to control than actually controlling lust. All of you, those who are, because you see, eunuch sometimes is a word, you know, it is used as a bad word in Hindi language, you know. People may say, are you all becoming eunuchs that you are not able to perform anything? No, you must have seen specific Hindi word. I don't want to produce it from Vyasasan. But you, the people use that word as a bad word, as a gali. So, everyone who is like a kartrutvavan, you know, a well-accomplished man, for a minute close your eyes and then imagine that you have become a eunuch. I mean, when I do this, I cannot even open my eyes after that because I say, it's not possible, right? But he became like that, and very wonderfully, from that eunuchness also, he created a parakram after that. And we know all the story, but I don't want to go into details. So now that person who can, because Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also says, right, for somebody who has become very famous. So Arjuna is a very manly person. He is very famous. And if you read Mahabharata, if you read even Bhagavat, practically any kingdom Arjuna goes, you know, the princess of that kingdom falls in love with him, proposes to him, he gets married. And there are two or three stories like this about Arjuna. So for such a person, you can imagine becoming a eunuch. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, sambhavitasya cha akirtir marnad atirichyate. For one who has become famous, infamy is worse than death. That sort of mental trauma, he is able to control very nicely. And shine through it. And he is saying that it's difficult for me to control my mind. Now, after he says that it is difficult for me, Krishna also doesn't immediately, you know, he doesn't say, "Arey, kya yaar, you have controlled your mind in Ruvashi, you have stayed in Agyatvas as a Bruhannada, and you are saying that you are not able to control your mind." He doesn't say anything like that. Krishna is a very, very sensitive spiritual master, says, "Asamshayam Mahabhav, I agree that it is impossible." He says, but there is a process. What is that process? Abhyasena tu Kaunteya, Vairagyena cha Gruhyate. Right? Actually, this shloka which Lord Krishna speaks is not just about controlling the mind. This process which Krishna has given, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya, Vairagyena cha Gruhyate, is a universally time-tested formula for achieving anything in life. You can just think about it. Anything which is impossible, there could be so many things impossible. But Abhyasena tu Kaunteya, Vairagyena cha Gruhyate. Now, Krishna speaking this verse has even much more importance. Because there is a very common saying that practice makes one man perfect. Right? So, abhyasa. Krishna is talking about abhyasa. Anything which is impossible. Right? But if you do abhyas, it is possible. Like Prabhuji is an expert mridanga player. Whenever I see him playing mridanga, I say, how can he play something like this so beautifully? But the hope is this verse. Abhyasentu Kaunteya. Because abhyas kiya hai na? Itna time se practice kiya hai. I see sometimes, you know, in the earlier days, nowadays I don't see it. You come to temple and you see Brahmachari is sitting in some corner, danga, 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 going on. And everyone is thinking, my God, I have to tolerate this noise. But trust me, if you tolerate this noise right now, then one day that person will be playing in Kirtan very melodious Murdanga. You will enjoy that sound after that. So that abhyas is a very, you know, it's a very painful process. But then when they play in Kirtan, you will say, oh, he plays so nicely because so many residents of temple have tolerated that. That's why it is said that it takes a village to raise a child. You see, you have seen this. So it takes a temple congregation to raise a mridanga player. You can say like that. Because he can be doing dang, 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 dang in some corner for a long time. You know. So that's how it is. Abhyasena to Kaunte. But Krishna speaking this verse is even more important. You know, I came across one LinkedIn post. So there is a nice mentor. I learn from him a few technological things, and I follow his LinkedIn posts sometimes. He made a very wonderful point. Now, this is not coming from scripture. Maybe it has some origin in some scripture, but it made so much of sense to me. So somebody had posted this point that, you know, practice men once makes a man perfect. And an example was given that, you know, an expert archer, you will see. So two incidents are given. An archer shoots an arrow and an experienced archer shoots an arrow. And then you see both have same, because both have shot right in the bullseye. Both arrows are same. And then the camera goes in the background and it shows that the neophyte archer who has shot in the bullseye, his arrow has gone only like a centimeter deep inside. But an expert, experienced archer, his arrow has gone like almost this much inside. And then it says that, you know, there is no substitute for experience. So practice makes man perfect. So to that picture and to that video, this person replied and he said, he made a very nice point. He said that, I don't fully agree that practice makes a man perfect. He said, because you may be practicing something wrong for a long time. And ultimately it will result in a wrong result. Right? So practice doesn't make a man perfect, but perfect practice makes a man perfect. There's a difference. So what is the difference between perfect practice and wrong practice? That is, you have a mentor, a guide who is actually observing you on how you are doing your japa. Sometimes you see, you know, Radhana Swami Maharaj, he sits in that corner there and everyone sits around him. And you may be, you know, slack in your japa, looking here and there little bit. But the moment you look at Radhana Maharaj, and suddenly you see that he's from the glance of his eye looking at you like that. And he may not be looking at you, but you feel that. And immediately you, okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Right? No, existence of a guide who can correct you is very important. To the extent that I was remembering this, now I don't know how much bona fide it is. It is, I had a book with me called as Tukaramanchi Gatha, like this Marathi book. It's about all the abhangas of Tukaram. So I was reading through some introductory pages of that. And then it mentioned there that there is a discussion, there is an argument between who is really the spiritual master of Shivaji Maharaj, whether it is Tukaram or whether it is Ramdas Swami, like that. And that researcher, he makes a point. He says, actually when Shivaji Maharaj expressed the desire of accepting Tukaram as spiritual master, like he wanted to be a disciple, Tukaram told him that I will not be surviving for many days in this world. So you need a living guru who can correct you. And therefore you go to this person called Sant Ramdas and he accept initiation from him. So it's written in that. Now I don't know if it's bona fide or not bona fide, but I like that statement very much. That you need somebody living who can actually correct you. So that is the difference between wrong practice and the correct practice. So perfect practice makes a man perfect. Right? So one aspect is very clear that yes, you can achieve something which is impossible by practice. But the second thing is vairagya. The second thing is very important, that is vairagya. And that vairagya can be understood from various angles. But there is one angle which Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport. And that angle of vairagya is absolutely fantastic. And I just wanted to explain that aspect in front of you. And I'll just read out that purport. So again from Bhagavad Gita. And of course this particular point stuck me because I was studying this lecture of Bhakti Shastri by Gaurang Darshan Prabhu. He brings out this point very well. So this is the shloka, Kimno Rajyeno Govinda, Kim Bhoger Jivitena Va. It is in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is addressing, Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Govinda. And just see what Prabhupada says here in the purport. So here we get the first hint of how this Abhyasa and Kaunteya gives you an entrance into the Akshay concept. Right? And then we'll go a little further. So now let's just see what Prabhupada says. This is the beginning of the purport. Prabhupada says, Arjuna has addressed Lord Krishna as Govinda because Krishna is the object of all pleasure. Pleasures for cows and the senses. So Krishna is the object of all pleasures, pleasure for cows and the senses. By using this significant word, Arjuna indicates what will satisfy his senses, that is his own senses. He is saying, although Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses, if we try to satisfy the senses of Govinda, then automatically our senses are satisfied. Materially, everyone wants to satisfy his senses. And he wants God to be the order supplier of such satisfaction. The Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entity as much as they deserve, but not to the extent that they may covet. But when one takes the opposite way, namely, when one tries to satisfy senses of Govinda without even desiring to satisfy one's own senses, then by the grace of Govinda, all desires of the living entity are satisfied. Right? All desires are satisfied. So just by satisfying the senses of Krishna, all living entities are satisfied. What is Prabhupada trying to say here? Prabhupada is saying the vairagya, what is that vairagya that he is highlighting? The vairagya is our own attachment to our own idea of how we want things to happen. Right? So the difference between that practice and perfect practice is that our attachment to our wrong things. Because you may be attached to doing that in that wrong way, because that wrong way is very comfortable for you. You know, you can have so many examples of this, but because you just like that specific wrong way, because you like it. And therefore some devotee comes and says, Prabhu, not like this. Please change it. Right? Now we don't say it in ISKCON, but try to speak this to a small child. That don't do it like this, do it like this. First thing that he will say, but I like it like this. Right? Immediately they will say, but I like it like this. Why are you telling me no? So what is it, that thing which is stopping you from the right practice? Is there an attachment that I like it like this? So the whole perspective of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna is saying that I like it like this. I like to be very compassionate. I like to not fight at this moment. I like to let go of my kingdom and let Kauravas enjoy it. I like it like this. So Krishna says, no, I don't like it like that. I want you to get up and fight. That is what I like. So Arjuna here has to give up his liking and accept Krishna's liking. That is the entrance into the perfect practice. If you just do that one small thing, that small vairagya, ki theek hai, Prabhuji, aap keh rahe ho na, I like it like this, but let me do it because you like it like this. Now, what's the problem? You know? And then just see the difference. Just see how it works. Like sometimes you may be traveling in a bus, very crowded bus, right? And you are like standing half an hour, 45 minutes in that bus. The bus is in the traffic jam, so it is giving you those moments. And one person gets up and you feel, oh, I got a place to sit now. And you immediately sit there and say, ah. And you look here and there, so happy. And suddenly one pregnant woman comes inside the front door. And then you are looking at everybody who is getting up now for giving place to that pregnant woman. And nobody gets up. There was a joke which I read some time back. Just slight diversion. Because sometimes it could be very boring to just hear philosophy. So little bit of humor. There was one lady who was interviewing a person sitting at the bus stand. So she went and said that, we are doing one survey of how men are accepting women in the phase of life. I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. So would you like to answer the question? He said, yes. So he says, if you are sitting on a seat, on your own seat in the bus, and a pregnant woman comes in, will you get up from your seat? He looked at her and said, no, I will not get up. And then she said, what? Then she said, no. What I'm trying to say, that she has come inside and nobody else is also getting up. will you get up from your seat? He said, no, I will not get up from my seat. Then he says, but she comes to you and says that, please get up, I want this seat. Then will you get up? He says, no, I will not get up from the seat. Then she becomes so disturbed. She looks at the cameraman who is recording the interview. She says, just look at this man. He's insane. He's, you know, rubbish. He's not ashamed of himself. He's talking to a woman like this. And he's having a seat. He will not get up. He said, oh, madam, I am a bus driver. So I will not get up. So that, just a humor. But when you are sitting in the bus and that pregnant woman comes in and you may be looking at others who are willing to get up, just try doing this. Just get up and let that person sit. Or if it's an old lady or old man, it happened to me, you know, because we were going to Barsana, and if you want to go to Barsana, from Vrindavan you get electric bus, only 60 rupees ticket. And I was like, wow, 60 rupees ticket, electric bus, Yogi ji has started, I have to take it. So we all went all the way to the stop. So we spent some 55 rupees on the electric rickshaw to go from our hotel to the main bus stop, so that we get a place to sit. And within two or three stops, these elderly Vrajavasis, they come inside. And they start looking at you. And if you don't get up, they sit at your feet. Because they are not going to stand. So then you just have to get up and allow them to sit. Right? Allow the Vrajavasis to sit. And then see the happiness that you derive. Right? And when they sit down, they will look at you, beta, tumara bhala karo bhagwan, rather than tumara bhala kare, they may just bless you like that. And you feel, oh, why? You know, it was worth coming, spending 55 rupees to grab a seat and then offer it to a Vrajavasi to take it back. You know, it's like that. So they feel it so nice. So the point which I'm saying is that selfless service once done, it gives you a lot of happiness. Right? So even if you are liking it in a particular way to do a particular thing, you know, a person comes and says, no, don't do it like this. Change it. And just for that person's happiness, you change it. What's the problem? We are not talking about major political decisions of India, how, to which country it should fight, not fight, whether, you know, those type of decisions. We are not talking about it. We are talking about simple things. You know, somebody comes and says that, you know, Prabhu, I don't like this chasma that you wear. I say, okay, fine. And then maybe wear another chasma if you have it. Or I don't like this pen. Or I don't like this. Okay, you like it, I'll take this. You know, simple thing. And when that person sees that you changed because that person wanted it, then what happens? Then that person gives a very, very, very rare place to you. Right? So you have gotten up from the seat. You lost that seat. But you have gained the seat in the heart of that person. Which he is not going to give it to anybody. That seat he will not give to anybody. That person may get up from the seat, this seat or this seat, and give it to somebody else. But there is one seat in the heart of that person, which he is not going to give to anybody. But that seat he gives you, because you have given this seat to him. This is what is important. This is Vairagya. So Arjuna is saying that, no, I don't want to do it like this, but do it like this. Right? And those places, you know, those seats which you get in the heart, they are akshay. They don't go away. They remain there forever. This is how a person slowly enters from the world of kshaya into the world of akshaya. Right? Abhyasa and vairagya. And Prabhupada says, the moment you do this, the moment the living entity is willing to do this change, what happens? All his desires are fulfilled. Right? So what happens is that you fulfill one desire with your own resources. The resources are kshaya. They get destroyed. They get depleted. Another desire is fulfilled, resources are kshaya. Another desire is fulfilled, resources are kshaya. Right? And then you say, okay, now 10 other desires are pending. How will I fulfill them? I don't have resources. Then I have to work hard, get some resources, and again fulfill those 10 desires. But just this shift of triangle, a shift of angle, perspective, by satisfying a devotee, satisfying a Krishna, Prabhupada is saying here, in Bhagavad Gita purport, Prabhupada said these books are going to be there for 10,000 years to come. So for 10,000 years, this is like written that all one's desires will be fulfilled by just satisfying the desires of Krishna. So this is the angle of Vairagya which Prabhupada is trying to say. So this is the first entrance into the world of Akshaya that a devotee attains. By making this small adjustment in one's life of Abhyasa and Vairagya. Yeah? The perfect practice and the perfect detachment. With two, slowly you can enter into Akshaya. Then we go a little ahead. There's one more aspect of Akshaya that I want to give. And which is already mentioned here, that all one's desires are fulfilled. There is one concept of completeness. So Akshaya has a sense of completeness. Like Prabhupada said here, all desires will be fulfilled. Just now, before I came for the Bhagavatam class, we were attending, there was a small Bhagavatam, sometimes we attend, we discuss in the morning, some of my godbrothers, our godbrothers, we do it. So one of my godbrother, Virchandra Prabhu, he was sharing this wonderful pastime, I mean, wonderful incident that happened with him. He actually went on a family picnic. So it was not supposed to be a spiritual picnic. It was on a family picnic. But he wanted to spiritualize it, so he sort of went to first Udupi. Right? He said, but the amazing thing is, in Udupi, as soon as we landed, he said, I was surprised that in Udupi, they don't follow Ekadasi. So he said that, you know, nobody is having Ekadasi. So he said, I was having problem in finding Ekadasi food. And there were children with me. So difficult where to find. So he, typically he just looked at and he said, ISKCON temple near me, Google. So he found an ISKCON temple. So in Udupi, he had to find an ISKCON temple. He went to the ISKCON temple. And then there was nice prasad. And he said, I found some of the senior congregation members of our temple there. And he said, I see those senior congregation members so many times. You know, I see them in temple, I see them in yatras. But I never felt that kind of happiness. But in that place, to see them, I was so happy. And he got his Ekadasi food there. Then they were supposed to go on a picnic, so they went to one resort. And again, the thought came to his mind, but in this resort, where will I get prasad or a properly cooked sattvic food? I have to make a compromise. You know, I have to tell the cook, make it like this. The cook does not know how to make it like that. So many problems. He said, I went to the kitchen and I saw one devotee from Nadia. He was a Bengali. And he had like all the Vaishnav symbols and everything. And he said, Hare Krishna Prabhu in his Bengali way. And he said, okay, I'll make for you whatever you want to. And he, for all 3 or 4 days, there was this Nadia Navadvip Vasi cooking for him. And then when they left, they went to Mangalore and again they came across the ISKCON temple. He said, when I landed in that ISKCON temple in Mangalore, he said that devotee was taking rest, brahmachari. And he said that the whole temple is maintained only by 2 brahmacharis, the entire temple. And he said, I went and I said, Prabhu, he immediately got up. So very alert devotee. You know? He just immediately got up and he said, yes, Prabhu, how can I serve? So he said, Prabhu, is there anything prasad? I know it's like late 3 o'clock, but, and he said, okay, how many of you are there? So there's 6 of us. He said, Prabhuji, we have finished our prasadam and everything, but still I'll go to lunch and I'll go to the kitchen and I'll find out. So he jumped into the kitchen and he got everything that was there. And he said that whatever he got was enough for 6 people completely. So what I realized that behind this concept of Akshaya, there is this understanding of completeness. That means, what does Krishna say? Like, Tesham Nitya, what is that verse? Yogakshemam Mahamyam, what is that? Ananya Shintayanto Mam Yejana Paryopasate. Tesham Nitya Bhyuktanam Yogakshemam Mahamyam. So, whatever is lacking in a person's life, Krishna keeps on, you know, providing it in an unexpected way. And that's what a person keeps on experiencing. So as a life, he's leading the life like a normal family man. Okay, I have my children, I have my family, so I need to go, I need to, you know, do this picnic, because I need to make them happy. But then I have my worries. Will I get the proper food? Will I? So yes, there is something lacking, Krishna is providing it. Okay. Yogakshemam Mahamyam. And again something happens, something is lacking, Krishna is, so Krishna makes it, so Prabhupada makes it very nicely. He says, the Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entity as much as they deserve. but not to the extent that they may covet. Right? But as much as you deserve, that much he is going to provide. Right? So Krishna keeps on providing. So then as long as Krishna is providing you, whenever some need comes, Krishna keeps providing. Something happens, some devotee comes and help. Keeps on happening. Actually, let me tell you this, and this we were discussing this some time back. This experience that some devotee comes and helps, or something happens like to you, this is actually Vaikuntha experience. So you may be thinking, you know, I have never gone to the Vaikuntha spiritual world. And you read from the Bhagavatam verses about descriptions of Vaikuntha Loka, how the people there are. Well, I don't have any experience of myself, na. I don't know how Vaikuntha is. But when you get these experiences, you realize, oh my God, these are actually Vaikuntha experiences. Because that person is going out of his way without any desire of earning anything from you and helping you out. That means there must be something that this person is getting. Some sort of happiness that that person is experiencing. I also want to experience it. So when you are sleeping there and another devotee comes, you may not be feeling like getting up, but you will remember this. You know, that devotee did it, so now let me also get up and do it. Right? And in this way, it goes on spreading. The Vaikuntha atmosphere goes on spreading. This is the positive inspiration. So this is the fact. This is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. And then, you don't have to convince a person that God exists. Because a person is experiencing Vaikuntha every day in life. So, yeah, I know. Devotees are like this. I know this is how what I experience. They always go out of there when they help me. This is what has happened. And no, I always, things on keeping. So what is happening is, in live experiences, so then there is no need of preaching also. There is no need to put a person, okay, haan, abhi ye tum ye karo, wo karo, you know, ye courses karo, wo courses karo, uske baad hi aapko milega. No need. The person is experiencing lively. So he's not going to deviate from the process. So that is the solution, right? So this is the concept of Akshay. So there's a completeness, and because Krishna keeps on providing it, that's why actually it becomes Akshay. It never goes away. And then the final part that I wanted to mention, and then we can come to this verse again. There's one more side of Akshay from living entity's point of view. Right? So many, many years back, when I took to Krishna consciousness, I was inspired by one statement which one devotee told me. And you know him, His Grace Gaurasundar Prabhu. So he used to preach to me. So he's like my Pathapadarshak Guru. And I remember, this is very early. I mean, I was not even chanting 16 rounds, or I was probably chanting just one round or two rounds that time. And he had come to me and he told me that, he said, see, if you take one step toward Krishna, then Krishna will also take one step towards you. And then he said, but that is Krishna's step. So there is a concept of relativity that exhibits here. So you have taken one step to Krishna, and Krishna can take one step towards you. He said Krishna, as Vamandev, in that one step could cover the entire heavenly planetary system. And another step, he could cover the entire hellish planetary system. So don't compare your step with Krishna's step. And don't even think that Krishna cannot in one step cover all the planetary system. He can. Because we read in Brahma Samhita, you know, yasaika nishvasita kala mathavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanath. You know, from the pores of Krishna's body, you know, one entire universe comes out. Right? So something which is as insignificant as pore of the body, for you it may be entire universe. Right? But for Krishna it is insignificant. So that Krishna, if he takes one step towards you, so you can imagine how much does that cover, right? Then what is expected from your side? What is expected from our side is to give Krishna the best that we have in complete capacity. Few examples. We know when, and this is literally connected to the concept of Akshay. So we know the story of Draupadi, who was living in the forest along with the Pandavas. They were in exile. Their kingdom was taken from them in a very malicious way, in a deceitful way. And they were surviving in the forest. And just to torture them little more, Duryodhan sent Durvas Muni. And he said, you go, this Draupadi, she has Akshay Patra. Sun God has given her this Akshay Patra. And he specifically gave a time. And he said, you go, because he knew that after that time, because once Pandavas have finished their meal, the Akshay Patra stops. It does not give anything more than that. That's how the Akshay Patra was created. So Durvas Muni came just after that. And then he said, oh, I have my 60,000 disciples with me. Please make place arrangement for me for prasad. So Draupadi was in complete anxiety. Now what will I do? What can I do? And as she was just in anxiety and she was thinking about Krishna, actually one devotee told me a very nice thing. It's not very directly connected to this, but something which about Draupadi which I like very much. So, you know, when we give example of Draupadi during the Vastraharan Leela, sometimes we say that, you know, actually she tried to first take help of the Bhishma Pitamaha and Dronacharya and they couldn't help. Then she sought for help of Dhritarashtra. I think first Dhritarashtra, he did not help because he was an elderly person as she was being about to be disrobed. Then she took for Dronacharya, he did not help. Bhishma Pitamaha, he did not help. Her husbands, they had become slaves, so they could not help. In that desperation, then she took, raised her hands and chanted, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And Krishna came and helped. This is a typical example given. So you may start taking shelter of things which you feel will protect you. But in that complete desperateness, when you take shelter of Krishna, but actually it's not like that. One devotee told me that I think this is written in one of the bhajans of a saint. Which Kaujivihari Prabhu sings that sutra. Govinda Damodara Madhavet. So in that verse it is written that, so or he was citing either this one or some other, I don't recall. He says when Dushyasana actually came in her quarters and said, you have been called outside and I want to take you. And he was about to grab her, right? The first thing that she said, don't touch me. She said, because Krishna is my friend. And she said, he will not like if you do like this to me and it will be very bad for you. So don't touch me because Krishna is my friend. So actually when she was about to be put into difficulty, she first thing she remembered was Krishna only. It's not that at the end she remembered Krishna. In fact, the first thing she remembered was Krishna. Right? So that's how a devotee does. You know, as soon as here also in the case of Durvas Muni, the first thing that she remembered was Krishna. Now what will I do? Akshay Patra is already over. It cannot give anything because we have had our meal. And now Durvas is with his 60,000 disciples. So immediately Krishna came. And then Draupadi said, what are you doing in the middle of forest? Krishna said, you called? You called me, so I came. You know, why you want to know how I came here? So I came, you called, I came. So what is it? So he said, you know, all this problem has happened and Krishna said, leave about. Do you know one thing? I am also hungry. Durvas Muni is hungry is another thing. But I am also hungry. Do you have something for me? Now she was actually in complete mortified. She was fully mortified. She said, now, Durvas Muni ko khane ko nahi de rahe ho, theek hai. But Krishna has come and asking and I am not able to feed. That is really very bad. Krishna said, just go see, something must be there. So she looked in Akshay Patra and there was one leaf left over. Itna hi hai. That is enough for me, Krishna said. So he took that leaf and ate. And he was completely satisfied. So, what actually happened here is that whatever was there left with Draupadi, you know, she just gave it to Krishna completely. She just gave it to Krishna. So, for us, things are not going to be akshay. For a materialistic person, when you are offering something to Krishna, it is not going to be akshay. But whatever best you have, in its full capacity when you give, it acts like akshay only. It acts like akshay. So after that, what happened? As soon as Krishna ate that leaf, everyone's tummy was filled. You know, so all the disciples of Durvas Muni and Durvas Muni himself, suddenly they felt like their stomach is full and they started giving belches like, you know, Dakar, like that. So Krishna, in a very funny way, he said, Bhima, just go and call them. Call them. Bhima said, but we don't have food. He just go and call them. So Bhima went to call. He said, "Oh, Durvasa Muni, come. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is calling you." So now Durvasa Muni thought that, "Are Bhima, this is a very powerful person. Now if I go to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he must have arranged everything. And now I will not be able to eat it. So this Bhima will become angry. And he will disturb me, he will destroy me." So Durvasa Muni said, "Abhi bhag jata hai idhar se." So all Durvasa Muni and all the disciples, they just ran away from that place. And Bhima is saying, "Are, don't run away, come. You're being called there." And they just ran away. Right? They just ran away. So feeding 60,000 people, you needed Akshay Patra. Akshay Patra was already over. At that situation, she offered whatever was there to Krishna and she got the same result as Akshay Patra. That's the point which I'm trying to say. So this act of giving everything to Krishna, it is limited only. It is still limited. But that limitedness, because you are giving it to Krishna with love, it gives you results of unlimited. And so many examples like this. We have the example of Sudama, who went to Lord Krishna. Only thing that he carried were those pohas. Limited. Absolutely limited. Krishna said, no, what is that in your, that poha? Give it to me. He said, no, don't take it. Because his cloth bag, no, ultimately. A cloth bag hanging on your body is going to absorb all the sweat and everything. And he's a Brahmana. How can he, if you want to give poha also to somebody, at least the poha should be soaked in nice water. What about sweat? Sweat soaked pohas. How can you feel like offering it? So he was, "Krishna, you don't take this. You know, this is what I have, but you don't take it. It's not good." But Krishna just grabbed it and had a full mouthful and ate. I said, "Wow, I have not had anything sweeter than this ever in my life." So whatever he had, with all the limitations and difficult circumstances, but that all he gave. And then what happened? Krishna did not say anything, by the way. Krishna, he stayed with him nicely over a day. By the way, according to legends, this pastime of Sudama visiting Krishna also happened on Akshay Tritiya, which is today. So it's good to speak about it, right? And what he gave was his sweat-soaked pohas. Krishna ate it, right? Because coming from a friend. I was listening to one historian, you know, learning history. And he was citing this example that how to deal with people. He was citing this example. He said, he was comparing, you know, Shivaji Maharaj to, having such wonderful qualities of, you know, offering everything back and maintaining friendship even in difficult situations like that he was comparing. And he gave this example of Sudama. He said, just see in the case of in the case of Dronacharya. Dronacharya also went to the palace of Drupad. And he said that, you know, "Can you help me?" And Drupad just flatly refused. Drupad said, Drupad is a Kshatriya, Drona is a Brahmana, same combination. So Dronacharya went to Kshatriya to take some help. And he said, just give me a cow. Nothing much. I just need a cow for feeding my child. There is no milk. And then Drupad suddenly, I don't know what went in his mind, but he said that, "No, friendship is only between equals. I cannot call you servant friends. Please go." And here Sudama goes, again a Brahman, and Krishna as a prince is a Kshatriya. He goes. Krishna did not say that, you know, friendship is between equals. He accepts that sweat soaked poha, eats it, and then because, you know, he has given everything, so he is also so happy. And the whole night they discuss wonderful pastimes and Krishna does not give him anything. Right? And he also doesn't ask. And then as he's going back, Sudama starts thinking, "Yaar, Bhagwan ne to kuch diya hi nahi. Aur maine kuch manga hi nahi. My wife sent all the way here not to give pohas. She sent me here to ask for something from Krishna. And I ended up doing something else only. And didn't complete the mission." And as he was thinking like this, and when he came back to Porbandar, the place where he belonged to, Dwarka to Porbandar, he came back and he sees this wonderful palace. This concept of Akshay manifesting. From a small thing which was given, this Akshay thing completely manifested. And then his wife came to receive him and he could not recognize that it's his wife. He said, "What has happened to you?" I said, "You know, all of a sudden this happened." And then in the heart he understood, it is Krishna's desire, he has fulfilled his desire. And of course Acharyas give mother very wonderful meaning and additions to this, but another wonderful example is this fruit selling vendor who went to Vrindavan, right? So Krishna asked for fruits. And then Krishna said, okay, I want all the fruits. So she said, okay, take all the fruits. No problem. And then she took this, and then basket, and the basket was very heavy. And she looked at the basket, it was full with jewels and gems. Again, the concept of Akshay. Yeah, you give something to Krishna, Krishna gives you back Akshay. Right? So something which is very small for you, limited, but when you offer it to Krishna with love, and you really give everything that you have, right? Like sometimes, you know, you are in some yatra, some parikrama, and then a very genuine beggar, Brajavasi, he comes to you and says, you know, please give me something, and you look at everything and you don't have really anything. All that you have is a 10 rupee, 15 rupee last left for you to take the rickshaw. And then you just empty your pocket and give that 15 rupees to him also. Right? And you feel that, wow, at least I did something good in my life. Right? You have experience like this? If such a moment comes to you, you should consider yourself very fortunate that you are able to sort of empty your pocket and just give it. Okay, take it. This is the last thing that I have. Take it. Or give it to some pujari who is asking for some donation. Just doing that. So, trust me, there is things which is Akshay waiting for you as the time passes. You will not realize it that moment, but in due course of time, Prabhupada says here, Krishna will fulfill all the desires. And one last point I want to say, there are people who do not want to offer everything to Krishna. Right? Rather, when they see wonderful things that people are possessing who can be used in service of Krishna, they want to go and grab them. And that is also another event connected to Akshay. So who did like this? There was this king Kartavirya Arjuna who visited the ashram of Jamadagni Rishi. And Jamadagni Rishi had this Kamadhenu cow. And when Kartavirya Arjuna saw this Kamadhenu cow, he said, okay, no, why should this Brahmana have it? I am the king. Everything in the kingdom is the property of the king. I will take this Kamadhenu cow. Right? And then he took this Kamadhenu cow. And then what happened? You know, Parshuram had to go and... In fact, the Kamadhenu cow, I think, manifested and the armies came. I get confused between what happened with Vishwamitra and what happened with Jamadagni. Right? Ultimately, Parshuram Bhagwan went and he destroyed this Kartavirya Arjuna. Cut off all his 100 arms. Parshuram Bhagwan is also born on Akshay Tritiya. Right? So in this way, in this Akshay Tritiya, we have to understand this fact that yes, just doing a recap of whatever we said, that in the material world, it is not Akshay. It is not going to happen. But Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Gruhyate. By perfect practice and by perfect detachment, it is possible. And that perfect detachment helps us to let go of our false ego and please Krishna. And through that pleasure that Krishna has, Krishna keeps on providing whatever we lack in our life. Yogakshemam Mahamyam. So you never experience the Akshay. And then there is concept of relativity, that something which is very small thing for you, for Krishna, from Krishna's point of view, it could be unlimited. And therefore, whatever little bit you offer to Krishna, Krishna gives you back Akshay. And then those people who don't want to offer to Krishna, in fact, they grab the things which Krishna has given to others, for their own merits, Krishna has to come as Parshuram and then cut off your pride basically and then go away. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.